All right, so turn to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Are you looking for satisfaction? Let's read this story about two brothers. I'll find the place here. Luke 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And the father divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all, and he took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Sorry, and he would fain have filled his belly with the swine's food, but no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose, and he came to his father. But when his father was a great way off, his father saw him. He wasn't angry. His father had compassion. The father ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Sorry. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe. Bring the best, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son, the elder son was in the field. And as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and he asked, what is this? What these things meant? And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound." And he was angry. The older son was angry. And he would not go in, Therefore came his father out, and he entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son, my younger brother, as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. I am ever with you, son. All that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. We find a very interesting story. These brothers, the younger brother, he was looking for satisfaction. He was looking for fulfillment in this life. He was looking for purpose. And yet he grew up with this certain man, is what it's called, his father. And this certain man, it seems to me, the story is referring to God. This certain man. So this younger brother wasn't happy. This younger brother, he found his dad. His dad is too strict. His dad's probably a little bit old-fashioned. His dad was boring, so to say. I need to find something more, something exciting, something worth living for, some kind of purpose in my life. This is not what I'm having. My father always finds something to say about me, something to correct me, but I don't see it that way. I need to find something else. And so the son, he played it out many times in his mind. What I'm gonna do? When I'm old enough, I'm out of here. When I'm old enough, I'm gonna live how I wanna live. When I'm old enough, I'm going to make decisions for myself, and I'm not going to be here anymore. And so he came up with this plan, it seems to me. None of the father's instructions availed anything. None of the father explaining to the son what it was like, it did help. It didn't work. The father giving instruction, the father reasoning with the son. The father telling the son how it's worked out for other people and what are the purposeful things in life to live for. All these things the father was telling him, but the son would not listen. The son would not have it. So finally, when the father was at the end of his rope with his son, that his son is not going to get it, he finally comes to the decision that his son has to figure it out for himself. The son has to figure it out the hard way. He let him. So there's so much in a father that wants the best for his children. There's so much that they want. No father wants his children to live this life, to go this way, to be a down and outer, he wants the best for his children. He wants the very best. And he wants to teach and instruct his children, his sons. He wants to teach them the way to go. But he cannot decide for the son. He cannot do it. The son has to pick that up on his own. The son has to see what the father stands for and what the father is teaching him. And he has to embrace it for himself. But the father can't do it. The father can't choose for him. And so finally, in a sense, he lets go. In a sense. The son has to find out the hard way. The son asks for his inheritance. The dad gives it to them. The dad gives him his inheritance. The dad gives him all or a large amount of what the dad has worked for his whole life. What he had accumulated, he had given to his sons. Obviously, it wasn't very long in this direction before the son, he took his money, he put it all together, and he's off. He's off, and he is in pursuit now for something fulfilling. He is looking now for purpose that he did not find yet. He's looking for it, and he is going to have it. He goes out proud. He goes out chin high. He's excited, full of energy. Here we go. I am going to live it up. I am going to find something more than what I've had this so far. He goes, and he goes into a far country. He goes into a far country. And he makes for himself some friends. Before we go any further, let's read Isaiah 5, 1 through 6. Talking of the Father doing all that he can for his Son. We're looking at God and his Son Israel and what God has done for them, for him, if you'd make it singular. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 1. Now I will sing to my beloved, I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He put this vineyard in a place that has very fertile soil, a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it. He protected it from any intruders. He protected it from the little foxes that spoil the vine. He protected it from those that might come and steal the fruit that he was expecting. He fenced it, and he gathered the stones out of it. He did his part to sanctify it, to give it the best opportunity to grow. He took out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest vine. He took the very best of the very best kind of grapes, the very best kind of vine. He planted those there. He took the very best, the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the midst of it, and he also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What more could he have done? What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? This is verse 4. Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. I did everything. This father had done what he could to teach his son a better way. And his father... And the son turned away from the father. In one sense, we've all done this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. We've all gone astray. This son, in the story, he left. He turned away from his father. Now he was having a good time. Now he has money. Now he's found friends that like to live the same kind of life that he does. And now he is finding something exciting. He is finding something thrilling. This is so much fun. This is so much better than what my father had for me in my home growing up. This is exciting. If only I could have been here sooner. I'm assuming this is what I'm picturing him to do. And so he was having this good time. He was far away from authority. Nobody can tell him what to do now. He could do what he wanted. He could live to the full. Are you looking for fulfillment in the world? Are you dissatisfied with what is presented to you? Young people, are you taking on? Does it make sense what your fathers are asking? Are you looking to the world for fulfillment? Are you looking to the world with longing? I know you're not out there. I know you're not gone that way. But are you looking? Are you planning? Are you thinking? Are you considering that there might be something different than what's offered to you? Are you looking to the world for fulfillment? Do you think this one, do you think this son is going to find fulfillment here? This is purpose for life? No. Not many months after that, not very long after that, he looks at his pocketbook. He looks at all this sum of money, this money that his father had worked so hard for so long. He looked at this inheritance, and then he comes up with a shocking reality. He is almost out of money. How did it go so fast? How is all of this wasted? What do I have to show for it? Well, at least I had a good time. At least I made some really good friends. I made all these connections. I got to find a job. Friends were not only made. He also, let's see. Now all of a sudden, with not quite so much money, he notices some of these friends, they're gone. Now he doesn't have money, and he says, "Oh, hey, can you help me out? I'm coming short." And his friends aren't there anymore. Have you experienced it? Yeah, you have a lot of friends when you're in that time. I had. And then when I was in need, when I was needing something, all of a sudden those same friends, they weren't there anymore. Some of the things that the father had said, they're starting to make sense. They're starting to click. He doesn't want to admit it. He doesn't want to realize it. But it's starting to come true. This is maybe not all it was cracked up to be. Maybe this plan of mine of going and living it up and finding fulfillment in life, I don't know if this is going to work. So he goes and he finds a job. Things are not as grand as his glory days of leaving, but harder times were coming. It only lasted for a short season, and then came the famine. So his job was to support himself and his new acquired addictions, and that takes a tremendous amount. He's finding himself not very free. He's finding himself that this life that he thought was so liberating was actually binding him. He's finding that he has acquired some addictions, and he cannot get away from it. He cannot free himself from it. That's how addictions are. You can't stop. He can't stop himself. And that cost him money, and so now he had to support it himself, and it's not working very good. And now famine, now hard times. He went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Before we go there, I just skip some of my notes. Before we go there, I want to tell you a story, a real story. There was two young men and troublemakers, like real troublemakers. They were in and out of jail. They would steal. They were drug addicts. Yeah, they were. And it came to it that their dad was dying. Their dad died. And then it was known already that since the dad died, he left an inheritance for his boys. He left, if I remember right, it was $120,000 he had given for his boys. And then I had heard of it just from another friend that tries to help people get off drugs. And then so I heard of this, and he's like, how long do you think it would last? How long do you think an inheritance would last these guys that are so irresponsible? And then he said, I don't know what to guess. And then he said, I doubt it would last 6 months, and they're going to have it all spent. And I'm like, oh, it just seems like a waste. It just seems like, you know, this dad had worked and paid off at least that part of the mortgage, or held on to the house for so long, and but now they sold the estate. They gave the boys the money, and it was literally 1 weekend before the money was gone. It was gone and spent, and they didn't have it anymore. The one brother, I think, the other brother. So the less responsible of the two, or the one known to be more rowdy yet than the other one, he had bought a luxury car, he didn't have a license, and he crashed it that same weekend. It was all gone. Done. Just like that. He received $60,000. It's all gone. Everything. So the inheritance, the inheritance was gone. But they had a no good father. Like, I don't know them real close, but I heard, right? I heard that the dad treated the boys terrible. Like, they were, like, good for nothing, stupid, you'll never amount to anything. That's how they turned out. You could see it. But what about this dad? This dad had done everything he could for his boys, and they turned... They turned away. Everyone has a free will. Like I said, he had to choose. The dad could do everything but choose for the son. He could instruct and teach. He could reason. He could appeal. He could plead. He could show by example. He can't choose. The son has to choose. The children have to choose. We have to choose. We have a father. I'm not just talking about young people or youth or something. We have to choose. Where will we find fulfillment? So now all the friends are gone. His addictions were still there, and they got him into a lot of trouble. And the debt that he could not pay, he got himself into a spot where, like, this is all assuming. I'm reading into the story. This debt that he could not pay, he finally... It appears to me that he may have sold himself as a slave. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. And with that citizen of the country, you notice that he would fain have filled himself with the husks that the swine did eat. Nobody gave unto him. So he was forced into labor, as it appears to me. He was forced into labor. And then now, where are the glory days now? Where's the living it up now? Where's the freedom? What did he get himself? Where did all of this go? He got himself bound. He got himself stuck. He got himself to a spot where he cannot get out. Is he living it up now? Is he having fun now? By no means. I think at that point, well, it's right the next thing. At that point, he has no money. He has no friends. He is bound in his addiction. He is a slave. He is a slave as long as he stays there. As long as he stays in that spot, he is stuck in that spot. He will not get out. You hear of different people in other countries, like I think of a story in China where, what is the lady's name? It was a missionary in China, and she would help the ladies that would pretty well sell themselves because they had borrowed money because it was tough. They'd borrow money, and then they could never, ever pay it back. The interest was far too high. I forget what it was, 50% a day or something crazy like that. And they could not, for anything, pay it back. And then the man that had lent them the money says, well, this is your next step. And it led on to selling themselves was the only way, and they could not, for anything, pay themselves to get out of it. So this lady, Jackie, forget the last name, Jackie. She would help girls like that pay off their debt. I think it was part of it. There was more that she would do, but she was in the that city that was terribly overpopulated. And sorry, I should have wrote the notes down before. But they couldn't get out. They were at an impossible place. This son is at an impossible place. He cannot get out. There is no way to get out until. Until he turns to the Father. He can't get out. There's no way. You can't do it. You're stuck. When he comes to himself, when he comes to the understanding, my Father was right. He turns to the Father. Sorry, I can't help but get stuck in the story, or get myself in the story. He can't help it. He turns to the Father. That's his only hope. And that's what he did. He thought of the Father. He considered what my dad had said was finally right. My dad was right. I am not worthy to be called his son. But maybe my Father will have mercy on me. He takes very good care of his servants. And if I go, and if I could just serve my Father, it'll be better than this mess if he'll take me back. So he turned. Sorry. He turned, and he went to his Father. He turned. What did he turn from when he turned? Repentance is not just turning away from sin. Repentance is not just stopping whatever he was doing. He was living, he spent time with harlots. It's not just turning away from impurity. Repentance is not just trying to stop with his drugs and drinking and his lying and his cursing and swearing and using God's name in vain. It's not just turning away from sin. It's turning towards the Father. And as he's turning towards the Father, he's turning away from sin. His sin is behind him. He is going now to his Father. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not trying to stop one thing. What happens when you try to quit? I remember for me, I was repenting in a way, right? I wanted to stop. I wanted to live better. Okay, we're gonna stop with this lifestyle. I smashed all of my CDs, right? So all this wicked music, I smashed them all. But then I just turned to something else. I was listening to one type of music, and then now just I was listening to rock and roll. It didn't work. You change one for another. I left the drugs and drinking, but I was still immoral. It didn't work. Not until I turned my heart towards God, I received the new birth that I turned away from sin. Then I replaced it. You can't just stop one. You're going to put something else there. If you're going to stop one thing, you're going to fill it with something else. But fill it with God. You will find purpose. So in turning back, as he returns, he has apprehension. He is not sure how his Father will respond. His Father told him 1,000 times, I picture, about this better way to live and how that he's going down a wrong way. How will his Father respond as he wasted all of his inheritance? And now he's coming back, empty, broke, and defiled. His attitude is now very different than when he left. Remember when he left? He was proud. He was arrogant. He's going to have a good time. He was excited. Now he's coming back. How is he coming back? He is broken. He is humbled. He is repentant. He knew he did not deserve the same position that he left before he had gone. I will, he decides, be like one of my Father's servants. I am not worthy to be called a son. I'm just going to work for my dad. How did the Father respond? How did he treat? How did he treat this son? Is he going to be a servant? Is he gonna shovel the manure out of the stalls? Is that what he's going to do? No. No. I'm a dad, and picture any of you fathers. This dad said, no, my son came home. Go bring the best robe. Bring the best, not just something nice. Go get a ring and put it on his finger. Go get the fatted calf. We are going to celebrate. This is exciting. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let's turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as an olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow, they that dwell under his shadow shall return, and they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. What will the father do? What will the father do when his child comes back broken? He will receive him. He will heal their backsliding. God says to Israel, talking about their backsliding and their coming back to God, he will heal them. He will receive them. So now, this son, he was looking to the world for fulfillment. It failed him. He did not find it. People are on this road all the time. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking in the wrong place. When they're looking for fulfillment, their flesh attests to the goodness of it, not their spirit. No. It will always fail you. It doesn't matter how you look at it. If you're looking for pleasures in this world, if you're looking for popularity, if you're looking for possessions and building up wealth, will it satisfy? Can you not look to those that have gone already, who have pursued that way? Are they satisfied? Sometimes it kind of looks like. Are they satisfied? No. I don't know, countless times you come across people, this is their pursuit in life. How happy are they? Well, they're divorced. Children don't like them. None of them are fulfilled. I don't see any of them that are fulfilled. Sometimes they're happy. Sometimes in this life, in that pursuit, once they get what they want, they are happy. Just like this man was when he first got to that far country that he was looking to fulfill. They don't find fulfillment. They do not find something that satisfies. Not lasting, maybe for a short time. The world is always pulling forward. That's why you have to be careful for the hook of the world. The world does not let you be satisfied. If you want to get one more thing, there's two more to go. If you want to go so far, there's so much more ahead of you. You will never be satisfied, and you will lose your soul in the process. Where will you find fulfillment? What will you do to find something that will satisfy? The world failed him. It will not satisfy. Everyone will realize that. But how long you go, how long will you go until you understand? There is satisfaction. This boy found it. This boy finally found something worth living for, something of purpose in this life. He found it in returning to his father. He found fulfillment. Fulfillment. This cup is two-thirds full. No, he found fulfillment in doing the will of the Father. It was full and running over. He found fulfillment in submitting to his father. But the story keeps going. There's the older son. The older son, shifting gears a little bit, but it helps us to apply this, I think, pretty well to everybody. The older son, he had a strange response, it seems to me, to his father when the son had come home. The older son was the wiser son, right? The older son, he also received his inheritance the same time as the younger brother. This one did too. So you remember, the father said he divided unto them their portion. That was the older son and the younger son. And this son probably got more than the other ones. I'm not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure. I think that's how it was. And this one, he had resisted the temptation to squander his fortune. He had resisted that. But he was not happy. He was not happy about how his brother had come home. He was angry. Why ever would he be angry? He had gone to his father. Why, father, would you be happy about your son coming home? He wasted your money. He wasted everything that you worked for. And then this older son could watch it, right? The dad, he was working. He was diligent. And he was working. And slowly, he was accumulating, right? Slowly, they would have more cattle. Slowly, the finishing touches on the house got done. Slowly, slowly, it was accumulating. And then, look, my younger brother, he takes all of this, wastes it all, and he lives completely contrary to what you've ever taught him. And then he comes back, and then you're happy about that. How can it be, Dad? How does that make sense? He rejected your teaching. He sinned against you, Father. He sinned against heaven. Why would you rejoice? Well, what's the answer? Why would the dad want to rejoice? The father knew it took a miracle. It took a miracle for his son to come home. It took what we would say on this side. It took the new birth. It took regeneration. It took a change of mind. It took his son to be completely changed. It took him to learn those terrible, hard lessons that nobody can put them in there. You have to receive them, like we said before. His son received that. The dad knew it. The dad valued the son more than all the possessions that he had. Fathers, what would you give? What would you give to have back a wayward son? What would you give? What would you give? I would give everything. Oh, would I give? Maybe we have some vehicles and in a house. Don't have much money in the bank, but I would give everything. This is more important than anything in life, that my son would come back. The other brother didn't get that. The other brother didn't understand that. His heart seemed cold. His heart had seemed cold. The father's answer to the son, that has had me thinking for probably about a year. Let me find that verse. It's in Luke 15 again. I can't just find it quickly. But he says, "All that I have is thine." No, he says first, "I am ever with you. I am ever with you." Picture the Father. Picture our Heavenly Father. He says, I am ever with you. All that I have is thine. Some of the hard feelings that the son had was because he felt like the dad favored the younger son over him. I was faithful to you all this time. Picture if you would. Picture if you would. What would it be like? Picture you have a child, and the child would wake up, and they would put on their same old tattered garment that day, and the next, and the next one, and the next one. They would wake up in the morning, and they'd go, and they would get they would go and have cereal for breakfast. And then at lunchtime it was a peanut butter and jam sandwich. In the evening it's macaroni and cheese. And they wore that same tattered clothes day after day after day, every single day. and then all of a sudden when they felt like the father had treated somebody else better, they complained. And the father says, "Child, look at the rest of your wardrobe. Look at more of the closets." I'm like, "What?" And you'd open it up, and like, "Oh, there's clothes of royalty here. What am I doing? What am I doing wearing this tattered clothes day after day after day? Look in the kitchen. Like, look, there's more available to you than just these macaroni and cheese." And then you see meals fit for a king. There is so much more to experience than what this son had experienced. He lived with the father. He was his child. And yet he experienced only a fraction of what there was. There is fulfillment. And he was not experiencing it. He did not go after the lust of the flesh the same way as his younger brother did. He didn't do that. And yet he was unfulfilled. He did not find the real purpose of life. He found a portion of it. He found a fraction of it. There is so much more. He didn't realize what was available to him. First John 3 verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Do you believe it? Do you believe that you are a son of God? What is available to you? Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And it's through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Look at the promise. You might be partakers of the divine nature. That's otherworldly. That's sublime. That so far surpasses anything of this life. Any possession that anybody could go after. You picture some magnificent thing, right? Some sports car or some mansion, some palace or some possession that somebody could go after. It pales in comparison. It's nothing. It's considered a dunghill. I want to reject that thing because I'm going after this. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you believe it? Do you believe that this is available to you? How much do you believe? Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Isaiah 44 verse 3 says, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Are you thirsty this morning? Are you longing for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord? He will fill you. He will not just fill you a little bit. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I'm thirsty. And just picture God. He pours water on you. Not only is your thirst quenched, but you have enough water to give to other people. Water floods upon the dry ground. Far much more than you need. He gives you abundance. It's all available to you. It's all in the cupboards. It's in the fridge. You can experience so much more than that peanut butter sandwich, those tattered clothes. There is so much more available to us, to me. Do we believe it? And then some of the best ones, some of the most important ones. 1 John 1, verse 3, the second part of that verse. It says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. Truly our fellowship is with the Father. I am ever with you. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. We are the most blessed people in the universe. We are God's chosen creation. He has made everything. And he chooses us to give us his Son to pay the way for us. Do you believe it? That your joy may be full. One more. 1 John 14. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come, and we will make our abode with him. We will make our abode with him. We will be with him. The Father and the Son will be with his child. What a blessed privilege. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if you had a dear friend that would go with you everywhere you would go? Picture that. If God be for us, who can be against us? I know how I feel. If I feel like my relationship with God is good, I can tackle anything. Anything can come my way. I can go through that. God is with me. But he says, God is with us. He says, we will make our abode with you if you love God. This is not a mediocre life. This is not boring. I cannot think of something more noble to live for. This is the highest calling in all the universe for a human, to live for God, to serve him. There is nothing with higher stakes. There is nothing that has higher stakes than how we live our lives and how what we do will affect those around us for their eternal destiny. There is not higher stakes. There is not something that has a higher risk with higher potential, with a higher return. There is not. You invest in something, some I don't know what. I'm not up. I don't keep up with that. You invest in something and you make money on it. Oh man, some of them, they maybe they'll double or triple overnight and you feel so excited. What is this? If you invest into the kingdom of God, you have the souls of men. You have treasure in heaven. There is nothing more rewarding than this life. There is not. There is nothing more exciting than this life. I have gone after the world before I was saved. I've gone after the world. I went for something exciting. I made it down that road a good ways. Maybe I went further than some of you. Maybe some of you have gone further than me. You will not find excitement like the kingdom of God. You will not find it. You will not find something so invigorating, something that so captivates you with all of your soul, than serving in the kingdom of God. There is not anything. Let us not live like the second son. These are the things that the older son had overlooked, in my assumption. We need to take God at his word. We need to believe him. We need to believe that it's true for us. Somehow it's easy to believe that it's true and it applies to I don't know, maybe the great missionary stories in the past, or maybe God's blessings are true and it applies to the preacher, or it's true for us. God means it for us. Consider the offense of a father that instructs his son, and he tells him all the blessings that are available to him, and the dad knows that it's there. Son, say just a simple something very, very simple. Son, I want you to take out the trash, and at the end of the week, you're gonna get an allowance of $5, right? It's just something so small, right? And then the son would say, I just don't believe it. Yeah, he's not gonna do it. He's not gonna bless me. Son, we're gonna go on a fishing trip. And oh my, maybe I've said that and I haven't gone through with it. We can fail our sons, but I mean, and then the son, he thinks of it and he says, no, dad's not gonna do that. Maybe he'll go out with his buddies. You know, maybe it applies to them, but not to me. But no. Take God at his word. It's true for us. We can experience so much more than this elder son. How do we correct this coldness? Are you feeling dry? Is there a coldness in your heart? How do we correct this? I want to read two stories yet. 2 Kings 4, we see Elisha. 2 Kings 4. Second Kings 4 and verse 2. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath nothing in the house save a pot of oil. So the story was is that this is a widow, I'm pretty sure. I didn't read the background, but I'm pretty sure this is a widow. This is a widow that got into debt. I think her father or her husband had died and left some debt, and now she was supposed to pay for it. Now the debtor had come, and she did not have something to pay for it. She didn't have money. She could not pay off her husband's debts. So the creditor, he said, well, what do you have? Sell your sons. I can't do that. So this lady goes to the prophet. And she asks him for help, and that's where we're breaking in here. And Elijah said unto her, verse 2, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house but a pot of oil. And then he said, go and borrow thee vessels abroad. Take thy neighbor's, borrow of thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels unto her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, and she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there are not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. She came and she told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and you live with your children from the rest. Picture the story. Picture this lady, right? Go and borrow empty vessels. You're going to see something amazing here. And then what if she would go and get three containers, right? I thought it had numbered the containers, but or the vessels, but I'm not sure it does. Imagine she borrowed a few. She felt a little bit silly. The neighbors are going to ask, what do you want to do with empty vessels? I just need to borrow them. Here, just
Let's just get a couple of them and then let's see what's going to happen. I don't know about this. She will get what she wants, right? Well, she will get what she believes God for. She went and she knew, this is my only hope. I am stuck. This means the life of my sons, not death, but I mean in servanthood for at least until they're released anyway. This means a lot. This is everything. And so she went and she got a lot of vessels. She got as many as she could, I picture, and she filled them with oil. She filled them with oil, she could sell it, she could pay the debt. What do we expect from God? I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One more story. 1 Kings, so just turn back. 1 Kings 17. This was Elisha. Now we're going to read of Elijah and that widow. This is an interesting lesson that we learn here. 1 Kings 17. 17, verse 8. Reading to 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth unto Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. But she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And then Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, not after you're done, first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according as he has did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat for many days. Something of serving others. Something of, see, this older son did not have a heart of compassion towards his brother. He didn't care about his brother so much. He was so disappointed in his life. He looked at him with disgust. What this widow had done, she served others. Somehow, in serving other people, you feel like you got nothing to give. Sometimes it's just a listening ear. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes you can hand somebody some money, right? Just doing that, it gives life to us. Think of this widow. This widow had nothing. She didn't have anything to give. Elijah says, Can you get me something to eat? I don't have anything. I can't give you anything. All I have is this little bit. I have to hold this for myself. No. She was willing to give, and in her giving, remember the two mites? The two mites were more valuable than what everybody else gave. They gave of their abundance. She, of her last little bit, she was willing to give, and it's a picture of sacrifice. It's a picture of sacrificing for other people. When we're willing to do that, it blesses us too. Yeah, it blessed Elijah. This widow took care of him during the famine, but it blessed her. In her sacrifice, she kept her alive and her son, and she was able to help this prophet. Meanwhile, before, she didn't even have enough to help herself. That's all she had. She found fulfillment. In serving others, we find fulfillment. Fulfillment. We find purpose of life in serving God. We find purpose. We find fulfillment. We find contentment. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Lord, I pray, fill us, God, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us not to act like either of these sons, but, Father, that we would really find the purpose of life. Lord, we would find purpose in every day. We would find purpose in serving you. Lord, as we read your word, we would believe it. We would believe it for ourselves. Lord, we would not count you as a liar as you speak towards us, but, Father, we would believe your promises are true for us. Bless us today. In Jesus' name.